You're listening to KHEN LP 106.9 Salida.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'm so proud to be here on Texas Independence Day. Thank you. I'm proud to be here with all of you in this fight. Thank you.
No Shackles with Jimmy Vaughn, and this is Truth Quest with Melody, and this is KHEN LP 106.9 Salida. And tonight I have with me Stanford Mendenhall and his wife Linda. And Stanford is a victim of DU poisoning, which depleted uranium, and he has a lot of health issues, and he's been was referred to us by Doug Rocky, who I interviewed earlier, who is an expert on depleted uranium. And then I also had Denise Nichols, who's been working with veterans for getting treatment for their health conditions. Are you there, Stanford?
Yes.
Okay, great. I guess you could go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and what's happening with you.
Yes. My name is Stanford Mendenhall. I
been in the military for 24 years, and I got deployed in 2004 and returned back to the States in 2005, September 2005. And I've been having health problems ever since. It started over there, but you know, when I came home, I seek help through the VA and then through the National Guard, and I really got, I didn't get any help at all. And you know, everything that was telling me, and that's the big thing with the military, everything is genetic, that you was born with it. But now I have high osteoporosis. And within 1 year, I had osteopenia. But within less than a year, I have high fracture risk osteoporosis. And they can't figure out, you know, what caused the problem. And I'm on, like, you know, 10 or 12 medications, you know, every day. You know, try for the pain. And it's unbelievable, the pain that I'm having. So, you know, trying to get the military to help, it's almost next to impossible. You know, when I first, you know, the VA was telling me there was nothing wrong, and I tried to seek help. Once I found out, I had to go to a civilian doctor to get, you know, an answer. And they told me I had a compression fracture in the thoracic spine, and they couldn't figure out why that happened. So, you know, through our own research, which I, you know, we got no help from the National Guard. Once I called the unit and told the unit administrator, you know, I finally figured out what was wrong, why I was having such pain, and we decided to try to get what you need, a line of duty to really, you know, to get any help, and tried to start the line of duty, but then the unit and the battalion commander and everyone all the way up, you know, stopped the paperwork, started calling me a fraud. Next thing I know, I was getting AWOL letters that I was being put out but not attending the drills, and I was sending them the medical documents showing, you know, that I'm under doctor's care, and they're trying to figure out what's going on, you know, why I ended up with that fracture in the thoracic spine. So,
did you run into numerous other
soldiers with the problem?
Yes.
Yeah, there was one. I was in charge of him. I was a squad leader in Iraq, and I was in charge of him. And he did the urinalysis test, and it came back very high, and they just told him it's in the food, you know, every day, you know, living that, you know, that's, but in the same letter, they told him, you know, every 2 years, he needs to get tested. And, you know, and pretty much the same thing they told me when I had it done, you know, it's in your diet. So
were you told about what depleted uranium was when you went over there?
Never. Never. You know, as a matter of fact, I didn't know about it until I came back to the States. And my wife, you know, was telling me about it, that they had this, they called all the wives into this big meeting and told them that, you know, everyone that was deployed over there in the unit was coming home with depleted uranium. And that was the first time hearing about it, when my wife mentioned it to me.
Oh, how did she find out about it? Because my understanding is that they're real mum about let the troops know.
No, it was a meeting. She told mm-hmm. me that they had this huge meeting. She can mm-hmm. explain
okay.
better. There was a meeting, you know, we hadn't came back to the States, but we was getting ready to come back to the States, and they called this meeting.
Okay.
So she could explain to you what happened at the meeting.
Okay, now is she on the phone?
Yes.
Online? Is that Linda?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
When the soldiers come back, they have a meeting with the chaplain present, and they tell you, you know, what to do if your husband's violent or having nightmares or night sweats. They tell you about PTSD. They just warn you. And then the biggest warning was that they told us that the men in this unit were all exposed and contaminated with depleted uranium, and that basically they should just go to the VA and the VA will take care of them. But that's not really what happened. It took 2 years to get the depleted uranium test, but that's, you know, just the military. There's absolutely no accountability. But when they came back through the VA, there was a 350 carbonized questionnaire, and all the soldiers are supposed to go through this process, and every single question was about depleted uranium. And my husband filled it out. I was with him, and I couldn't believe this questionnaire. And then we wanted a copy of it for our records, and they refused to give it to us. For 2 years it took us to do Freedom of Information Sunshine Law requests to get it. But we have it now, and every single soldier had to answer these questions.
Did they have as much trouble getting a hold of theirs, or did they want them?
They don't. A lot of the soldiers don't have any idea that they've been exposed to depleted uranium. A lot of the people that, you know, came to the meeting that I came to, it kind of went over their heads, you know. They just didn't understand, you know, what it was. And, you know, there are so few books about it. I mean, there's one book, Target Iraq, that's an excellent book on depleted uranium. But honestly, if it wasn't for Doug Roeke and Denise Nichols, we would have thought we were out of our minds. It was as if I never heard them say it. It was as if, you know, we never filled out the brochure. Then we found out that there were 6 depleted uranium testing centers with the militaries in charge of them all through the country. And then we found out that there's the biggest one in the Bethesda Naval Institute. And, you know, to get the test was impossible. And then when we got it, they even put it in the wrong name. So we don't even know if the results are valid or invalid. So we really appreciate you allowing us to get this out to your listeners. And we would like to give our email out, if it's okay, so that if anybody needs help, you know, we'd like to help others.
Oh, go ahead.
It's my husband and I, it's our last name, Mendenhalls, M-E-N like men, D-E-N like den, H-A-L-L like hall with the S at the end, plural, mendenhalls@gmail.com.
Okay, and what kind of symptoms did you have, Stanford?
Major pain. I've been having suffering with major pain, mainly in my entire back. It's like shot. I haven't had one operation. They thought first that once they located the fracture, there was a mass in that area. They thought I might have had cancer in that area, so they had to do a biopsy of the area. It was a total, it was unbelievable. And now I'm at such a high fracture risk in the area, and they're still trying to figure out how did I end up with, you know, osteoporosis, because, you know, I'm such a young person. And then I ended up in the hospital for 9 days. It was like unbelievable, uncontrollable shaking. And the neurologist said that, you know, they only see that, you know, happening with someone that's been exposed to a, you know, chemicals or fertilizers.
So do you think you might have been exposed to more things than just depleted uranium?
Okay. Yeah, I really think. Because I was healthy. I worked for the post office for 18 years and never had a problem until I went overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been having major problems. Even the dust storms are unbelievable over there. And I ended up with such a serious sinus infection. And now I'm still suffering with the sinus problem. So it's, and, you know, I went to the doctor over there. He just told me that, you know, this dust is really killing you. Said, yeah, it is. So, yeah, I've been having serious problems. Like, you know, we had to fight for 2 years because I was told that I wasn't entitled to TRICARE, you know, to cover these medical bills. And, I was forced to use my own private insurance. But then the private insurance started complaining about, you know, I don't think we should be paying for this. So I was caught in the middle of that, and we kept fighting, you know, back and forth with TRICARE, trying to get the National Guard, trying to get the senators to help me out to get this, because I needed a lot of testing. But see, what happened is, you know, for people that doesn't have the insurance, if they use the VA is really not going to tell them the truth about what's going on. So they can't afford to go outside to get, you know, a second opinion on, you know, what's going on. So, you know, thank God I was able to go outside and get a second opinion on, you know, what was going on. Because the only thing the VA was telling me, oh, there's nothing wrong, you know, don't worry about it. And then I started going out to the civilian doctors, and then the VA then started saying, oh, you know, continue to go to those civilian doctors. They're going to help you. They will help you more than we can help you. So you just continue to look, you know, go with them. And then I start calling the Pentagon, start speaking to people there, and we got the Pentagon involved trying to get some help. But by that time, you know, the National Guard started lying and saying that I never gave them the proper medical documents. I wasn't cooperating, but every document I was getting, I was sending it to them. So, you know, we've been going through total, it's been rough.
And so have you run into other soldiers that are going through the same kind of denial and stalling?
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. I talked to some of the guys gave up because they lost their line of duty. Because if you don't have that line of duty, you can't go to the VA and say, you know, I got hurt in Iraq, that's what happened. Now, if you don't have that line of duty, you have to prove that it actually happened in Iraq. Then you have to, you know, find some of the guys that you was over in Iraq with, and they have to write a letter for you. Yeah, it's a total.
Okay, so how do you get the line of duty?
Okay, well, the line of duty is when you get injured. And as soon as you get injured, you report it. And then it goes on a document, so it'll create a paper trail. And, you know, that medical document that you have proof that, you know, you got hurt while you was overseas deployed. And that's what they call, you know, a line of duty, that you was injured while you was deployed, you know, in the line of duty. So that will entitle you to, you know, benefits. So what happened to me, since they was telling me that, you know, that there was nothing wrong, because I came home on my 2 week leave and went straight to the VA and told the VA, you know, something is wrong. I'm hurting, and it's really hurting. And they was like, oh, there was nothing wrong. We, you know, we did the chest X-ray. We don't see anything. So I was like, you know what? Do a back X-ray and see what's going on. Oh, you don't need one. That's, you know, it's all in your head. I kept telling them, you know, something is wrong. So I got shipped back to Iraq, and the problem continued. But, you know, since they were telling me there was nothing wrong, I said, you know what, maybe a couple of days after I get home, it'll be okay. But a couple of days after I got home, I went back over to the VA and said, you know what, I still got the same problem. Something is wrong. And then they told me, you know, oh, there's nothing wrong, it's muscle strength.
So was it...
That's what they answered. The VA told me, oh, there's nothing but muscle strength.
Was there an event or anything that kind of helped bring this on, or is it just something?
No, for some reason, once I got over there, my chest and back just started hurting so bad. I thought I was having a heart attack.
Do you know now that maybe you were around anything particular that exposed you?
Yeah, because, you know what? I was in Taji. I was in Taji, and in the bathroom, in the shower area,
mm-hmm.
There's a big sign. They had a sign, you know, telling us don't drink, don't use the water to even brush your teeth with. So, you know, only use it for, you know, personal hygiene, but do not brush your teeth. in the paper that they admitted that the water was contaminated. It was in the paper this week that the water over there was contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
Baghdad and all of them. We was in Baghdad also.
Uh-huh.
And that the water that the soldiers were using was contaminated.
Can I say something about that?
Go ahead.
My husband told me about the color of the water and what was going on over there with the water, and I just couldn't believe that our government would pay millions of dollars to this Halliburton and that Cheney is hooked up with this. And this is how disgusting our government is, that they would do this to our soldiers. I mean, the simplest issue of water. Now we're finding out 2 years later that Camp Victory, it was an Associated Press report, had this contaminated water, and they said that a lot of illnesses are being caused by this water. But when you call the VA, they know nothing about it. The government has set up absolutely no hotlines or anything regarding this issue, and it's a major issue, and we feel totally, totally disgusted, and it's tyrannical, because we have all the science and everything else, and look what they did to our own men and women. It's beyond words.
Yeah, I think they kind of like to use plausible deniability is what it sounds
absolutely
like.
Absolutely no accountability, and it's just, to me, it's an atrocity. Because who knows if they're going to get cancer from it? It's bad enough about this depleted uranium, but now this on top of it. I am so glad that you and the press are handling these issues.
Well, it's just getting the word out that it, you know, I still am amazed at how many people are still not aware of the effects of what depleted uranium does, and that they're...
My husband and I had a big fight over it. I told him, I want you to get tested. He's like, no. And then the guy in his squad got tested, had the same symptoms as him, and they told that guy the same thing as him, and I said, you better get tested. And... You know, even when he asked for the test, they wouldn't even give it to him. So, you know, what's the difference if you know about it or not? It's like Agent Orange. How many years did it take for the government, you know, to really get slammed on that one? And by then, what's the difference? All the men who had it are going to die anyway. So, you know, do you know what this guy at the Wounded and Warrior Soldiers Hotline, Colonel Clark, he's in charge, he told me that I've called them about 250 times just asking for medical treatment. Mm-hmm. I'd like to address this issue about my husband has been denied medical treatment for 2 years. He has not gotten any medical treatment at West Point through the National Guard, through the military, zero, not one medical appointment. That, to me, is the number one complaint. Then they set up that soldier and sailor hotline. You complain that you don't have medical treatment. Colonel Clark told me one thing. He's in charge of the whole thing. He said, you better get your husband's things in order for death. I couldn't believe it, but I swear to God, that's what he told me.
That was the hotline that they set up? Did they?
The hotline, the bogus hotline.
It sounds like it. It sounds like kind of a...
It's a bogus hotline. I'm an attorney, and trust me, I can advocate, and there is just no way the normal sick soldier and his family with an education level that they may have are going to get through the system. It's absolutely, I'd like to sue personally, you know, class action suit, because we can prove it, and Doug Wilkie has proven it. And even the people in Corpus Christi, Texas, that are cleaning up the tanks and weaponry when it comes back to the United States from Iraq, they all are getting osteoporosis, cancer, lymphoma, leukemia, the same illnesses the soldiers of Iraq are coming from. And they're just cleaning the weaponry.
Well, I have a friend that actually, he was the one cleaning out the tanks for Agent Orange, and I guess he, you know, that's been a long time ago, and he's still dealing with the effects of that. And so where would you like to see this go, and how would you like us to approach this?
Well, you know, the word has to get out, because it's unbelievable what they're doing. If it wasn't for their far with my wife helping to navigate this system. You just give up because it's such a long, long journey. And what's sad about it, once I started fighting, and once we started fighting, I finally made it up to West Point to get, that's a military hospital, and finally got up to Keller Army Hospital. And the only thing they would tell me, bring your medical documents the doctors that you're seeing on Long Island. I would bring the documents up there, and I had the primary care doctor and the Pueblo officer, which is assigned to you. She's supposed to fight for you and make sure all your paperwork is in order. And I would go up there, bring all my medical documents. Then the primary care doctor would look at them. I had a bone density test done at the hospital. And that's a renowned, well-known hospital, Winthrop Hospital. And I gave the paperwork to the primary care doctor, Dr. Bresler. He looks at it, and he tells me, "Oh, I don't believe this paperwork." I'm like, "What do you mean you don't believe the paperwork? I think they put you on the machine wrong. That's why the bone density came out the way it did." I said, "Okay, Dr. Bresler, if you don't believe this, send me upstairs. We're here at the hospital." "Oh, we don't do it here." I said, "Okay, if you don't do it here, Dr. Bresler, send me out to another doctor. "Oh, we don't do that." I said, "Well, why are you arguing with the medical documents that I'm bringing you? Even Quest, everyone knows Quest. There's only two major blood labs in the U.S. He looked at the paper, the lab work, said, "Who is Quest? I never heard of Quest." I said, "There's only two major blood labs in the country, and Quest is one of them. I don't believe this blood work." So it's unbelievable. What needs to happen is that they need to have an oversight person or have someone, in the room with these doctors to make sure that they are doing the right thing by the soldiers.
Well, I mean, the way you make it sound is it sounds like...
if you make a complaint, it goes nowhere.
Right. I mean, it sounds like these guys are more like gatekeepers. And just people to put roadblocks in the way while you give up in frustration.
Yes.
That's why so many soldiers are sick and homeless, and that's why so many soldiers are committing suicide, because this PTSD thing is no joke. And if the soldiers aren't medicated, they're just like ticking time bombs. And the violence and everything else that's going on, and they're committing crimes and everything, and the military forgets about them when they come back sick after everything they've seen and everything else and all the mental illness that they have. And what is it now, 89,000 that are injured and 6,000 deceased. And today on CNN, they have General Petraeus on every single major channel saying that his champagne is in the back of his refrigerator. He needs to be hit over the head with a bottle of champagne and killed, because basically, you have all these families that have soldiers that are dead now, and their families have been destroyed, and there's no help for any of the injured soldiers. We were up at Walter Reed. All we saw is the paraplegics and everything else, all these young, virile men and women completely destroyed by this war, and he's talking about champagne. He should really be put out of office for that comment. It's absolutely disgusting.
After having Doug Rocky on my program and having Denise Nichols both, and then I also had Edwin Crosby on as well, addressing the issue of what these veterans have to go through. It's really sad, and
it's impossible. Mm-hmm. These guys are so sick; they're sick as dogs, mentally and physically, and there's no way to fill out the paperwork, and then they lose their paperwork over and over, and they just have no way to get help. I'm telling you, the suicide rate's gonna increase if somebody doesn't do anything drastic. I'm really concerned that it could be helped so easily if they could just assign social workers to families that are in crisis and the social worker could come to a house and do an evaluation and see what the needs were. I mean, but they have absolutely nothing in place for these families, nothing.
Did you have seen the film that Joyce Riley did with Doug Rocky, Beyond Treason?
Yes.
Okay. Right, and it apparently this has been going on for a long time. And again, talking to Edwin Crosby and on how the hoops he's had to jump through to try to get just get the ability to have a job because of coding that they do to them. And so the veteran really has a long road to hoe, apparently. And I have to, you know, commend you coming on, Jeff Rintz, and getting out there and putting the word out, because we really do need more soldiers coming forth. But I think in your case, you had to get, you're saying that you're not getting treatment from the VA. Is that what you're saying here?
Because the VA kept telling me, you know, to go to these civilian doctors and, you know, and then submit the paperwork to them. So, you know, because they couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, you know, we can't figure out what's going on. To us, it's only a muscle strain. And I needed that TRICARE. And TRICARE was, oh, no, you're not on active duty and you're not entitled to TRICARE anymore after you get off active duty. But that wasn't true.
Really?
The only thing the unit had to do is request to send me either to West Point or walk to Reed. The way we found out about it was calling to different agencies and trying to, you know, navigate. Our phone bill was so high, navigating through the system. And we talked to a person at Walk to Reed, and I explained what was going on with me. He said the only thing they had to do is do the paperwork, submit the paperwork, do that line of duty for you, and send you down here, and we would have taken care of it. I don't understand. Why are they telling you that? He said, no, you're entitled to it.
Hmm.
And, you know, when they got so upset and upset with us for finding out, you know, what I was entitled to, and unbelievable. And there were so many roadblocks. And then they got so upset with me down in the Pentagon down there. They refused. I had someone helping me out try to navigate, you know, to get me some help in that area. And, you know, when I was speaking to her one day, and she just told me that every time I try to go to someone here now, they said, no, we're not helping him anymore. And she told me, she said, no, this is personal. They made this personal because you guys complained and you guys was fighting for what
they
was
don't
right.
Help anyone, you know. It has nothing to do that we complain. We complained 2 years after they didn't help us. We tried to work with them for 2 years and got absolutely... I saw my husband almost near death, okay? He finally ended up in that hospital with having full body convulsions and seizures, and they told me that my husband was exposed to large doses of drugs, chemicals, or pesticides, or God knows what, and they sent him to the Mayo Clinic. And the two hospitals wrote to the military that my husband needs to be immediately sent to the Mayo Clinic for analysis because they've never seen any symptomology like this in their lives. They couldn't even diagnose what he's had. And that's why they said at least get him into Walter Reed or West Point, because you guys are in the Army and you know what he's been exposed to. We are civilian hospital here. We don't know, and we don't want him, you know, contaminating our patients, basically. And now he's been told recently that he may be paralyzed from all this stuff, because his bone loss is so great and it's going so fast and there's no way to stop it. So they told us that the osteoporosis was caused by genetics, but he's got, luckily, 12 brothers and sisters who are older than him, and he's got 50 cousins. He's got a huge network of family, and not one of them has it. But the point is that men don't get, you know, what 80-year-olds get that are active. He's an athlete. I mean, he never took an aspirin. So now you know, he's telling you he's on 12 medications. He's probably on more than that. And every time I hear, you know, in the morning he has to take the pills, I mean, I just hear the rattling of the pill bottles, and I hear him moaning in pain. And you know what? These guys have to really be accountable. And these presidential candidates, God knows, I mean, all of them, I mean, I haven't seen really any of them do the right thing for these veterans. They talk the talk, but, I mean, we like Obama personally, but we would like him to really nail Hillary Clinton, because she's our senator, and she's done nothing for us for 2 years. She even sent us a letter from West Point that wasn't signed, full of lies. And I said, what kind of nonsense is this? You're sending us a letter that's not even signed. I want to know who signed this letter. I said, this is so unprofessional of you. And they said, well, this is what they sent us, and this is what we have to accept. So please, if you're listening, do not vote for her office. Trust me. If you want to know more, just email me, and I will send you proof of everything that she is such a no-good liar. She says she helps the soldiers. She has done nothing. And she sits on that Armed Services Committee. And God help this country if she becomes president.
Do you network with any other of the soldiers?
Sorry.
Do you guys network with any of the other soldiers?
It's almost impossible because, you know, I haven't seen any of the guys all year. Since we came back from Iraq, we all pretty much went in our own little direction. Because a lot of the guys, you know, got out. So after that, it was like...
Well, there was a good chance that they were exposed to the same things you were.
Yeah.
Well, we tried to warn, you know, we reached out to everyone we could, but there's plenty of lawsuits just in our area of the New York soldiers who have sued. And sued in federal court to try to get medical help, and all the lawsuits get thrown out because there's a lot of immunity, and it costs thousands of dollars to bring federal lawsuits. And the military, you know, has a budget for the lawsuits and no budget for medical for these soldiers. And I'm telling you, if you could just see what's going on at Walter Reed Army Hospital with these amputees, if you could see it with your eyes, I mean, you will never be the same, because none of that is on national news. Enough of it.
There was another article in the paper the other day, and it was unbelievable. The VA is always claiming, oh, we don't have the funding, we don't have the funding. But their employees was going to, like, Sharper Image. Unbelievable. Over $1 million that these top executives had went to stores that they don't even need the merchandise for the, you know, the hospitals or the VA facilities that they was working at. It was like their personal little items that they were buying. It's like $1 million.
What do you think that's all about?
That waste. And the top people, corruption, where people are taking advantage of the system. You know, it was about credit cards. They have these credit cards, and they're using the credit cards to buy, you know, personal items for themselves. And the head person was saying, oh, you know, I'm going to look into it. I'm going to investigate.
And you said you have four boys?
Yes. We have two in college, and I've been trying to get, you know, some help. It's hard. It's a struggle.
So what happened when you got back? Did the post office help you out at all? Or?
The post office is wonderful. I had no problem with the post office, you know, because the person that was running the Long Island division here on Long Island, he's a Vietnam vet. And as soon as I, you know, as soon as I told him what was going on, I couldn't do it anymore. And they told me, look, you got a fractured back. Don't worry about it. Submit your paperwork. and we'll take care of it. So I submitted my paperwork, and they gave me the retirement disability.
Okay.
Blue Cross has paid, the Post Office health insurance has paid for military injuries and military-based, you know, lines of duty that... So we had to bring a lawsuit because Blue Cross is going to sue us because they have every right to sue us because the military is supposed to give the treatment, and they didn't.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that they have done as much they have.
$200,000 a year of medical bills, so it's about $400,000 of medical bills.
You know, they was asking the question, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield, because they had, like, an investigator going, and I just never responded. I couldn't, because that was the only health insurance I had.
And that's why Hillary Clinton is so bad, because Hillary Clinton says national health care. We wrote to her to assist us to get the military TRICARE to assist us, 25 letters to just help us even to get medical treatment. She sits there and does nothing. She doesn't even respond to our letters. And she never got up once and had any of her people investigate the bogus answers of why they're not giving my husband any medical treatment. So I want the public to be aware of these things because it's real. It really happened to us. I mean, so when we see her, you know, standing up on her soapbox, it's very painful for us.
And so you've been sick with this now, what, how many years now?
It started late 2004. Within a month or two after I hit Iraq, I started having problems. So it's getting, everything is getting worse and worse. Now I had a scarring on my right lung, and they're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on with that. And the right side, I have to see every 6 months. I have to go to the cardiologist to do an echocardiogram to monitor the right side of the heart, because I got problems with that now. So, and now I was told, because I knew it was getting worse, the back is in the neck area. I have to be very careful, and the doctors want me to, you know, instead of doing a CAT scan of the back, try to get one done every 6 months, because they want to monitor it, because the pressure of the, you know, the disc in the neck is putting, you know, on the nerve, and that's like unbelievable pain, and it's one wrong move, I can end up paralyzed. But they try, you know, they want me to do the take the shots first and take physical therapy, and then, you know, they want to go that route before they try to operate, because, you know, that area is what is serious area to try to operate on in the.
So what are they going? What is the operation supposed to accomplish?
Try to relieve the pain, because it's pressing on the nerve that, you know, for the spine, and they, you know, they would have to operate to, you know, to relieve the pressure.
Did they do any
severe pressure? I have to go and have shots in the shoulder and the neck area.
So everything that they're doing is just pretty much just trying to alleviate pain and and deal with the things that are taking place with your bones. But as far as what about with the effects of the exposure on some of the chemicals or whatever that you were...
It's there's really nothing they can do right now. You know, and I don't even think there's any treatment for that. Once you have the symptoms and the problems, that, you know, they're going to deny it. And now, you know, the civilian doctors, they done ran every test they could think of to try to figure out what's really causing these major problems. And what's sad about it is that I needed physical therapy. So I get the script from the doctor, and I sent it up to my headquarters. They denied because they said, oh, you hadn't had physical therapy in like 6 or 7 months, and we're not going to pay for it. If you want to go, you have to pay it for your own expense. So since I'm going through, and then they said that you can go to the treating facility, which is West Point. So I called my Pueblo officer, Mrs. Hutton, and I said, you know, this is what's going on, you know, and I need for you to get Dr. Bresler to approve this physical therapy. And she tells me to write the note, fax it up to her, the letter that I got from Latham at headquarters and the script. I faxed it up to her. So 2 weeks passed. I never heard from her. So I called her. I said, you know, what's going on with this? You know, her reply to me was, well, I talked to Dr. Bresler. He says he's not going to do anything. You was denied by Menso. Menso is like the main medical, I think it's out of Chicago.
Is this affiliated with the military?
Right. Menso, okay. it's like a medical place that approves the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I told Mrs. Hutton, I said, but if you read the second line, it says, I need to be treated by the treating facility. You guys, West Point is the treating facility. That's where I bring all my medical documents. Well, he's not going to do anything about it. So I have an attorney that's working with me out of Walk to Reed, and I called her, and she said, you know what, call the patient advocate at Keller Hospital and make a complaint. I called the Mrs. DeSalvo. She's the patient advocate at Keller Army Hospital. And I explained the situation. Then all of a sudden, Mrs. Hutton, which is the Pueblo officer, said, oh, I only got that letter. I never got the script for the, so he can go to physical therapy. As I faxed the letter and the script up at the same time. So then I had to, you know, refax that up. And I was talking to another person that they just assigned them to these hospitals, the Omni
Ombudsman.
And,
mm-hmm.
And I was speaking with him, and I explained the situation. He said, you know what, this is a total mess. He said, you know what, the problem is that they are not telling the soldiers what they're entitled to.
Intentionally.
He said, there's a lot of things out there that the soldiers are entitled to, but they're not telling the soldiers. And they're intentionally not telling them.
Well, I mean, that's pretty obvious when you guys didn't get any kind of training on the DU or that you're going to be exposed to it or any of that.
No,
I mean,
Denise Nichols and Doug Rolke, to us, they're like leaders of the community and the nation. And they should be put on whatever presidential candidate wins. I mean, they should be put on the major committees on decision-making on what should be happening with our soldiers in the future. Because they really care, and they know the system. And Doug Rolke was the first one, Denise Nichols, who told us exactly who to call, who to complain to, what regulations to spew. And we have such a funny story. After they had told us that, so many doors opened. I'm getting chills just talking about it. I mean, we were so blessed by that. And they gave us, you know, we were almost dead. Both of us were just so frustrated and sick of fighting, but we just wanted to fight because it's such a good fight. You know what I'm saying? So when they talked to us, it was just like we just got like a blood transfusion and we were just ready to go. And we got this document from a friend that Stanford had made from the Pentagon, and she sent it to us, and it proved that everybody at West Point had lied to us. So we faxed this document up to West Point, and I'm telling you, they were running down the hallway. They were going crazy. How did we find out this regulation? They didn't even care that we had proof now that they had lied to us for 2 years. They were just so mad that we got this regulation to prove that they were all liars. So you know what? That's what I want to tell everybody is that, you know, just don't give up hope and have faith and, you know, use us or, you know, any, you know, go to Doug Rolke and Denise and or to your show, you know, and to just talk about this stuff, because the American public is really fantastic. And I'm telling you, it's amazing how smart the public is, and these soldiers are so smart too, but they're so tired and weak. So I just want to thank your listeners for listening to our story, because we just need to tell it once in a while to just help other people too.
Right, right. Yeah, and I Doug Rocky and Denise Nichols are just phenomenal people. With the I just can't believe how long that they have kept up the fight for the veterans.
It's a long battle.
Right.
I mean, they'll slam the door in your face in a heartbeat, but
retaliate.
Yeah, they will retaliate again. We have problems. We couldn't get any help because they had a lie, and it takes you months to clean up the lie.
Have you had a lot of out of pocket on your own?
Oh, I had in just medication. I had spent up to like $2,000.
Oh, and I got repossessed.
Right, and the medical bills out of pocket. You know, once you start going to all these different doctors, you know. $15, $20 copay here and there. It really adds up.
Cancer goes to the doctor every day. You have to understand that aspect of it. If it's not mm-hmm. something, you know, for this PTSD because you've got the night sweats. I mean, one time I measured half a, you know those little cups like where they have on top of Tylenol? Half a cup of that off his neck alone of the night sweats. I mean, the reason why he didn't go to PT physical therapy for the 6 months, what he failed to tell you is they told him that he had tuberculosis. So we had daily nurses coming here from the Suffolk County Department of Health giving him all these tuberculosis tests, and we come to find out he didn't have that. The military knows what he's been exposed to. They know. Our government knows why my husband has, you know, lung damage and everything else. He was perfectly healthy when he went. You know, his entire lung and heart system did not fail. His entire bones and nerve system did not fail. He's definitely been exposed, and a lot of the soldiers are exposed. It's just that they tell you, you prove it to us. And they laugh in your face. You prove it to us. And a lot of the soldiers, you know, it's so, I wanted to give up, and I don't give up for anything.
Plus, you got to realize, you have to prove it to them, but you can't use the VA to prove it, because the VA is going to say there's nothing wrong.
And they won't listen to civilian doctors.
And you have to get, that's the only way you're going to defeat them. You have to get your own doctors to.
And the VA is going to lose the paperwork anyways.
Yeah, then they're going to lose the paperwork to make the paper. And then they're not going to believe where you bring them.
No.
And that's the sad part about it. They'll sit there and argue with another doctor's paperwork.
But it's really not funny. And a lot of the soldiers give up, and then the families are left with these heavy burdens of a sick soldier who's not getting mental or physical help, and it's so not funny. It is.
Yeah, and a lot of the guys, they end up being homeless.
Right, and a lot of them don't have that secondary or primary insurance either. Right.
And
they just die, and they literally just let them die.
Right.
I saw that movie Stop Loss. We both thought it was excellent.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, Stop Loss is, Stanford, tell them what it is.
Okay, yeah, Stop Loss. I ended up with Stop Loss. What happens is your contract is up. Because the military, they are so short on soldiers, you automatically get extended. And they call it Stop Loss. You can't get out. Because that's what happened to me. I was coming up. 2004, the deployment came down in May, and my 20 years would have been up in June. So they had sent me the paperwork telling me to fill out in January to fill out the paperwork, you know, because I'm eligible to retire. And all of a sudden, like a month later, I got the paper. You got another letter saying, no, you can't get out because you've been stop loss.
And the guys that go on the multiple tours,
mm-hmm.
they were all stop loss. The guys who have to keep going back to Iraq and tours of Afghanistan, you know, 2, 3, 4 tours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what that movie is about. It's about the tragedy of these soldiers that are coming back with the PTSD and exposure to all these chemicals, and they're all violent and wacko and just nuts. and they're getting no assistance. And the military's position is, you know, you're coming back, and, you know, some people are killing themselves before they can't even face it to go back again. And the families are really the ones who are suffering, you know, and it's just unbelievable what's going on. It's just, it's such an excellent movie. That's why I'm recommending it.
Okay. I was actually on a conference call with, I believe it was a representative from the state, and there was a soldier from Fort Carson, and her comment was, is they were telling them that they had PTSD before they went in.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're trying to tell them, to know. This is, you had it before you even went into the military. So that's where, there's another, it's, I can't think of it, but it's not PTSD. It's called adjustment disorder or something. That's where you have to be very, the soldiers have to be very careful to read that, because it's different than PTSD. Because if they put that on the paperwork, you're not getting anything for it.
But you know what? As a wife, I kept telling West Point, I kept telling them, my husband's having these unbelievable nights with, because like, he would be like a woman in menopause. He'd be like, tell me, it's hot in here. What is going on? It's so hot in here. And I'd be like, it's freezing, you know, in the middle of winter in New York. It's freezing. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then when he was sleeping, everything was like drenched, like the bed was drenched with sweat. I'm like, what is going on here? I kept telling them, he's got night sweats. What is going on? And they kept telling me, you know, we don't know, we don't know. And then we come to find out that this is all this PTSD stuff. He was having these nightmares that were so bad. He was having involuntary body movements when he was sleeping. And then he started to have them when he was awake. When he was in that hospital for 9 days, they had tracked these involuntary body movements for 9 days. I mean, that's how bad this PTSD is. And the military had refused to give him the diagnosis. And they knew damn well what it was. But how would someone like myself know who it was, a civilian? You don't, you know, people say PTSD, we don't know what it is.
Right. Well, I think we kind of, if you want to go ahead and give your email address again and how to get a hold of you. And
it's mendenhalls@gmail.com. mendenhalls@gmail.com.
Okay, because I want to thank you guys for coming on this evening and trying to get the word out to other soldiers who may be going through the same sort of thing and also getting the public aware of you know, the treatment of our veterans and those that are being exposed to these you know, poisons and not getting the treatment that they need when they get home. So I want to thank you guys again and thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you so much, and thank you to your listeners.
Okay. Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.